Good evening, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Are you the only one, Fauna?
Yes.
Okay.
I just got on too, you know, so.
Okay, let's give it a minute to see if somebody else will come on.
Okay.
I think we did verse 117 last week, but I suggested that we would start there. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. I'll start. L'shem yichud kudsha b'rishu ishkinte b'tchiluur himu b'tchiluur himu liyakta Hashem yudhe b'vavhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'yihi no'am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenehu. We're starting with section 31, the fifth chamber, Chesed. And we're starting at verse 117, which we did briefly on last week, but we'll start there. Hai rucha divraka itkalel bitrein ruchin. Rucha da divraka apek chad chevata wikal inun nehorin. Rucha achara it neher mineya, ikre rucha melachata. The spirit of Barak is composed of two spirits. First, the spirit of lightning, which produces the chaya described above, which contains all those mentioned lights. A second spirit, called the blazing spirit, extends from Barak and shines. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Two spirits, are they male and female?
They could be, but it's not real clear unless we look at, well, the word in the Aramaic is rucha, which would imply a female because it ends in an aleph rather than the. But it also could be that is the name for the Aramaic word that is the same as ruach.
But
it's saying that both of them, Barak is a spirit that is same spelling, so we can't say that they're male and female. We can just say that the Barak, the first one, which means to kneel or to bless, we can say that creates the Chaya, a living being, one of the angels, and that angel manifests another spirit called the blazing spirit. So far, that's all we can say about it.
Okay.
Verse 118. Naharin mineya tirein nehorin ve'inun arba ve'ilein nehorin mitapkin bigvavnin ve'haka ihulahat acherev hamat hapeket ilein inun mitapam shayna viharba ve'elu kaime al hekala siltata begin dehai lahat acherev kaima alinun ayan nechorin devedina mehaka kolinun distanin didaine dina harbach tal yayo al reshaihu milela. From this blazing spirit extend two lights that are really four directions, as discussed above. These lights, which are constantly changing their appearance, are called the bright blade of a revolving sword. These lights change and turn into the edge of a sword. These lights stand above the lights in the lower chamber, called the Chamber of Merit, Zechut. The blade of the sword is situated above the 70 lights of the court assembly in the Chamber of Merit. From this we learn that a sword is hung above the heads of the judges. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm thinking back to past Zohar lessons where we were given a description of the sword, that the parts of it were labeled with the Tetragrammaton. And then later, not too, maybe a couple of months ago, because I remember I sketched the swords, you know, and to try to get the visual picture in my head. And then the sword was called by a different name. It was called the double sword. And
that was on a different level.
Right. And the labels, the letters labeling the sword changed, but I think somehow it was linked to Shalak Lakah, because that's when Judy's husband was sick, and I had another friend who was having back surgery. And I used that sword in my meditation. So this is reminding me, and maybe that's what Bereshit 3:24, that reference, it might be those two angels that were placed outside the garden so that Adam and Eve could not enter in or anyone else enter in. But then the Zohar has given us the secret of how to use that sword. I kind of think that's what it's linking, at least it's linking that to me.
And that's excellent. That's all correct. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, why is it necessary to hang a sword above the heads of the judges?
Well, I think it's lazy, because in my meditation with Judy's husband, you know, the sword was protected, okay? And then, I don't know if I should be sharing this, but anyway, the sword went back to this belt on movement across my belly. And when every time I think of her husband, you know, the sword was back on my body. And so I took it, because an angel took the sword's place to guard her husband. And while the sword was on my hips, again, I handed the angel the sword, but he handed it back to me. And so I took it to mean that the angel had taken the place of the sword. So I'll have to think about it more.
Okay, well,
the sword was tested, and whatever judgment was over, because he was sick, the sword took care of the loving kindness that protected him.
Right. And that loving kindness symbol was not interested in having judgment associated with it. But here we have a sword representing judgment hanging over the heads of the judges, saying that you need to judge correctly, or you suffer the consequences of a wrong judgment. Now, we're dealing on a spiritual level, but that really applies in all the levels. At least that's one understanding of this question that I've asked.
I have another comment. Earlier today, I was thinking about someone, and I made a judgment over them, and I caught myself, you know, thinking to myself, I shouldn't, you know, that's a judgment. Stop it. So would that sort of be the same thing, that a sort of judgment over, let's say, my head, because I had that thought about that person?
Right.
But I caught myself, which was like binding by striking, you know, stopping the thought. So then that sort of judgment would then move to loving kindness?
If you choose to, you're in control of the vision.
Okay.
Verse 119. Hailahat acherev deilenim nechorin delistar shesemala apiku tadchevata achara dekaima aldalid bila kame bekiyumaihu kire mimina Utre Mismala Bad Ruha Behewata Hayal Beilen Datsit Minaihu Birenit Sotsin Melachatan Renafke Ma Mehai Hekala Levar Umit apneke tadir ilen nitzotzin melachatan lezimnin nukve lezimnin guvre lezimnin rufin lezimnin iren kadishin. The bright blade of the sword, which is the lights of the left side, produces another chaya that stands above four, ofanim, who are unstable. They cannot radiate outward, but just twinkle, because they are two to the right and two to the left. And when the spirit of this chaya enters the four unstable ones, when it travels on her four ofanim, two blazing sparks come out of them. The sparks leave this chamber and constantly change. They are sometimes female and sometimes male. Sometimes they are spirits and sometimes they are holy angels. Questions, comments, thoughts? Sometimes female means that at that time they're receiving. Sometimes male, that time they're sharing. Sometimes they're spirits, meaning that they're in a body and being revealed, and sometimes they're holy angels, meaning they're in a body, and, well, the spirits are concealed while the holy angels are revealed. And this verse is describing a process of how Barak creates a Chaya, which creates the blazing spirit, and then the blazing spirit creates ultimately these four wheels, these four ofanim. And this is a verse of how the fifth chamber, the chesed, actually works, how loving kindness works at the higher levels. Any questions or thoughts at this moment? Okay, I'm going to go forward with verse 120. Mm-hmm. Hannah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you'd been thrown off.
Well, I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, there's a lot there to think, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mem tet begin dakad it kalel hai ha chay vavta techai vavta kad ba'a migoy tekifu it kalilan da bida nafka chad nitsotza melachad pe melachata Ta dir delight ach, the almin vishata, the azla avat raihu, the inun tirain nitzotzin. Why? Because when this chaya was embraced by the first chaya, which came out of Barak, the strength of the entwinement created as an eternal spark that never extinguishes. This spark roams after the two sparks described above. Questions, comments, thoughts?
The spark that never extinguishes. And then just the idea of loving kindness always coming, you know, from Hashem as Shefa.
Well, remember in the Mishkan, you have an eternal candle, an eternal flame, which you still have in every synagogue.
Right.
It's never turned out.
Near Tamid,
correct.
Mm-hmm.
Represents the perfected light, the perfected flame. And so many people would agree with you that that's loving kindness. But it could be the flame of judgment as well. Or it could be the Tiferet level where they're mixed together. Loving kindness and judgment, which is what I tend to think. Because remember, in this section, Tiferet is above Chesed. We haven't gotten to that section, but we made the comment that we're going directly from Netzach to Givurah, what happened to Tiferet. And mm-hmm. if you look ahead to the next section, is that of Tiferet. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or thoughts?
Well, it's kind of like water. You know, the idea that the flood was judgment, but at the same time, the flood was cleansing the earth. So you had chesed and the raw mixed together with the water.
Correct. Let's read 121. V'hashtayinun u'rin di'avdin shelichuta bi'alma v'yad la'masayme mitave v'haku nitzotza matash v'ho v'naher lon v'itchatshu v'mil kadmin Beinun nu baby as way wishatum the adla masite may mita ke the high mitzotza batash beho vena hair lone the tadran the milkad mean begin dehahu. Nitzotza kalel, mikola kalel, midalet ve'gev avdin. Ugin da'inun mitchapukin, lekol hanei gavnei. Now they are males and they perform their mission in the world, but are extinguished before they are finished. Then the spark strikes them, shines upon them, and renews them as before. Now they are females because they receive from the spark the emanation of Malchut, which is considered female. And they go out and float around. Before they end their mission, they are extinguished. When they radiate from the right, they are called spirits, and they roam. But when they touch upon the left, they are called angels and are extinguished. But the spark then strikes and shines upon them again, and they are renewed as before. And so it is every time they are extinguished, for this spark comprises them all and consists of the four appearances. Thus these two sparks that receive from him change continuously into the four appearances. Males, females, spirits, and angels. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Makes me wonder if the sword that we said was judgment, is it over these creatures?
No, the sword is said to be over the 70 judges, which is the Sanhedrin on the upper level. It's going to be 70 angels of one level or another. 70
okay.
Angels of different species, perhaps. We just don't know yet.
Oh, okay. I never have a time to look ahead, so it's just as we go.
And that's just describing the process of how Shefa does flow in this level.
But the idea that
describing the creation of Shefa. It's describing the process that creates Shefa.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what did I interrupted you, so what did you mean to say?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure. I think it was the idea that, they're extinguished and then they're renewed. It was almost like the angels that went through the river Dinor, but didn't actually die, just were cleansed and then renewed. And this is happening with these as well.
But we're being taught that the angels represent a revealed aspect of the light. We're being given information that we've not had before. We're almost out of time, so I'm not going to do any more.
Well, I try to visualize a picture, and it's pretty hard to visualize these pictures. You know, one, you have two, and then you have four, and then they're lit, and then they're extinguished, and
well,
come back. Yeah. And
the two be that becomes four is easy. If you draw a horizontal line, and if you label one end of the horizontal line north, and you label the other end south,
mm-hmm.
now you draw a vertical line, and
mm-hmm.
you label one end east and one end west. So the two becomes four.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good analogy.
Okay, so it's really easy to understand how two becomes four, and to understand that aspect of the, because if you have a line, you basically have two sides to it. You have the right and the left. So one becomes two, and then two becomes four by adding the second line.
Mm-hmm. You can see that.
So that may help you to, we should revisit that, but not necessarily while we're reading this section, but it'll come through. I think this whole section is just describing a process of creating the Shefa that flows through everything. Because every drop of Shefa belongs to a particular soul. So we'll talk. I wish you all good evening. Our 7 o'clock class will continue with the essay from Rabbi Ashlag.
Okay, thank you.
Shalom to all.
Shalom, thank you.